We hear the fanfare, and that means it's time to go to the movies with Matt Olean, who reviews movies for us right here on Prairie Public. Matt, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
There you go. Today's movie, Matt, and welcome to Main Street, Matt.
Thank you, Craig.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We're getting into kind of a series of these movies now, Matt.
They still have one foot in the past with the nostalgic appearances of Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, not only in this movie but in Ghostbusters Afterlife in 2021. But now Paul Rudd, who's this, you know, science teacher that meets Harold Ramis's daughter, played by Carrie Coon, and she's a Spengler, so she's in the franchise. She's the daughter of the Ramis character. And they start dating, and she has two kids, a boy and a girl. And the girl, Phoebe, played by McKenna Grace, is genius. She's like this physics genius who can figure out stuff. So that's the new kind of family that's fighting the ghosts. And they were in Oklahoma in Afterlife. Now they're in New York City living in the fire station. As with the other Ghostbusters film, they kind of have their foot in the past too. So Aykroyd is in this, Bill Murray barely in this. And I will say one of the disappointments is Murray and Aykroyd hardly have any interaction with each other in the movie.
That is too bad.
It's just so brief. Annie Potts is in this, Ernie Hudson, William Atherton is the mayor. So we have a lot of the old guard helping the new guard fight this new threat, which revolves around an orb, a family orb owned by the character played by Kumail Nanjiani, who's hilarious in the movie. He's hilarious in everything he does. Fantastic comedian. His family has this orb that should have been left alone. Let me just put it there. You can figure out the rest. Leave stuff like that alone, right?
Because I'm not touching
all
it.
Hell is going to break loose if you touch it, if you unleash it. And, of course, the Ghostbusters have to fight what comes from this orb. This film is not as bad as critics are saying it is. So right now it has a 44% positive rating amongst critics on Rotten Tomatoes. Audience rating is 84%. So once again, we get this strange dichotomy, which happens a lot.
And I like it when that happens.
Yeah, because I think some of us are like, here we go again, another Ghostbusters movie, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think it's as bad as it's being made out to. I don't think it's as good as the audiences think it is either. But sometimes people just want to go to the movies and see Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. And I think that's what's driving this. I will say the box office had a steep decline on the second weekend. It had a 65% drop, but it still has made over $70 million right now. So, look, there's a lot of CGI that, of course, takes over at the end. The comic relief is really Paul Rudd, who's kind of navigating his relationship with Carrie Coon. Is he a dad to these kids? Is he a stepfather? What is he? And as I said, Kumail Nanjiani is really funny. McKenna Grace is a really good teenage actress. She's the focus of the movie, kind of her relationships, being too young to be a Ghostbuster, how she encounters the ghosts, how she fights the ghosts, how she uses her genius with physics to help them fight the ghosts. So there's a lot of humor here. It's not anywhere near as good as the first film back in 1984. It's never going to be. And I guess I'm curious where this goes from here. The Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, that's probably the way this is going. But they're going to bring Aykroyd and Murray and Ernie Hudson back, I would say, as many times as they can. So I would say it's a very middle-of-the-road movie. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It passed the time well, but it's not as funny as you might think it is in parts, and the CGI is completely over the top at the end, which we're used to nowadays.
It seems to me, year after year after year, CGI is just getting better and better and better, and you certainly recognize it in the trailer of this movie. How cool was it?
It's good. I'm to the point now, Craig, where I've seen so much CGI that I kind of just shut my brain off a little bit. I know it's going to be good. You only notice it when it's bad. And it is certainly passable in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I'm kind of CGI'd out, just like I'm kind of biopic'd out. I've seen too many biopics the last 3-4 years as well. One other criticism of this movie, I would say, there's almost too many characters. There are so many characters fighting for screen time in this movie. You have the current family fighting the ghost. You have Kumail Nanjiani. You have the older people, Aykroyd, the Murrays. There's a lot of characters fighting for space in this film, and I would say it's almost too many characters. One of the conundrums in movies, Craig, has always been when you have too many characters. And you'll see in movies, people will cut out kids. They'll have a married couple without kids because then they don't have to cast kids in the roles. In this instance, it's good that Carrie Coon has the two kids because Phoebe, played by McKenna Grace, is really the heart and soul of the movie. But there's a lot of characters to keep track of in this movie. And maybe the next movie, if they do a third one of this new iteration, will have fewer characters.
Just for our listeners, CGI stands for computer-generated backgrounds, computer-generated
imaging, action, things that you see on
many movies today, which it's getting harder and harder to distinguish really what's real and what isn't.
It is.
Matt, something sad this week, March 29th, Louis Gossett Jr. passed away.
He was the second African-American man to win an Oscar after Sidney Poitier and the first to win for supporting actor. When I saw An Officer and a Gentleman in high school, Craig, it's one of those films that I walked out of thinking he's going to win the Oscar. It was absolutely one of those dynamic performances as the drill sergeant who rides Richard Gere through the whole movie. But it's a great performance by him. Of course, he was in Roots back in the 70s. That was really where he became well-known. Great stage performer and a commanding presence. And the thing that makes his performance interesting in An Officer and a Gentleman, Craig, is initially Jack Nicholson was offered that part. So the part wasn't necessarily written for a white or a black actor. It was written for an actor of stature, and he was that.
You're wearing a shirt today, Matt. Your favorite actor.
Yeah, Marlon Brando he would have been 100 yesterday. April 3rd, so I have a shirt underneath my shirt to mark that anniversary. I mentioned it last week as well in our film review. Obviously, my favorite all-time actor, even though some of the later performances, Dr. Moreau, we won't remember things like that. But as a friend of mine recently said, if we would only have done Streetcar, Waterfront, Godfather, and Last Tango, we'd still be talking about him today.
Do the mic drop and walk away.
Yep.
What's coming up, Matt, for us to look forward to in your reviews?
I think I'm going to see Wicked Little Letters next week, which opens Friday with Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman teamed up again. Wonderful British actresses. That will open Friday. So I think that's what I'm going to review next week, Wicked Little Letters.
Time for trivia, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the three original Ghostbusters have been nominated for Academy Awards. None of them have won. Who's been nominated?
Dan Aykroyd for Driving Miss Daisy, 1989, and Bill Murray for Lost in Translation, 2003.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olien. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yep.